welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Editors. Today I have a guest who, surprisingly, I interviewed 4 years ago, people. 4 years ago. He's like an original. He can tell you how bad I was. But his new film, Edge of Town, is here. Jeff James, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I got it right for a change. I don't usually screw
up. You got it right.
Hey, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be back. I appreciate it.
I noticed you haven't lost your accent at all.
No. Oh, no. No, the more you stay in the South, it just hangs on as long as it wants to. For sure.
Why does it take you 4 years to make a new film?
Oh, well, okay. So, well, it's always money. And we actually had less money for this one than we had for the first one, funnily enough. We shot this in, I think it was June, July of 2019. So it took 2 years to get it out because when we shot it, so our budget for this second one ended up being under $15,000. We're not really, we think it's like 12 to 13 probably. When we add it all up after festivals, it'll probably end up being 15 or so. But yeah, it was just money. I mean, we had a shooting budget of probably like 5,000, and a lot of that paid for the one like SAG actor, which is Dwayne, to deal with, to, you know, handle all that. So it, money. Short answer is money, essentially.
Let's back up. Where did you get Dwayne? Because Dwayne has worked a lot if you look him up on IMDb.
Well, it's funny. So when we did Down in Yonder, we wanted an actor for that, for this small role of my character in it, Sugar Baby, his uncle, this cop. And we have a friend that we met years ago. He's from around where I live. But his name's Jeff Burr. And he directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. That was probably his biggest one. When he was really young, he directed that. And it kind of like, it was box office failure. And it kind of hurt his career a little bit to where he did like a Puppet Master movie and a Scarecrow movie. And, you know, a lot of like direct-to-video kind of things after that. But I got to know him, and he's good friends with Dwayne. He put Dwayne in a lot of those movies during points of Dwayne's career. So he was like, maybe Dwayne will want to do Down in Yonder. So I got a hold of him. It was really too late to contact him because I had never dealt with SAG. So there was a lot of hoops we had to go through with that. And the cost, I mean, the cost to get him in it was really not, he was going to be really kind. It was kind of the SAG cost that we weren't expecting. So we really just couldn't get him in that short time. But from then I had told him about, because Flippo, the director of Down in Yonder and Edge of Town, had already started kind of writing this story. And I told him about it, and he liked the idea. He read the script, and then he essentially was just like, yeah, man. He's like, you know what? If you can figure out SAG, if you can figure out like to pay me, man, I'll come and do it. Sure. You know, so that's essentially it. He liked the script, and we were able to get all the logistics worked out. So he was down. So
now, yeah. On your Down in Yonder film, you did mention in the interview, you didn't have enough budget for things like color corrections and stuff like that.
No.
Now, did you prepare on this film
no,
for all
not,
those problems?
Not one bit.
No, I can't. Save it.
No. Because we essentially said, we thought, well, we'll be able to find money for the second one since we did dumbest thought we ever had. So essentially, we didn't really have enough to shoot it. We just thought, okay, well, we'll start shooting it. If we run out of money, if we can't pay people, we'll just stop and we'll come back. Somehow, we were able to keep shooting it. Once we got done with that, we were like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? So we got lucky. So we didn't have any idea. We didn't know who we were going to get to do color correction. Well, our DP, which is a buddy of ours, but he had never shot, he didn't shoot our first feature. And he was like, you know what, guys, I'll do it. So we got lucky there. He did a beautiful job. as far as like the composition for it, the music for the movie, we went back to a guy that we used for Down Yonder, Richard Malmstrom. He did the same. He did the music for that. But we didn't, we were just like, you know what, however much it is, we'll figure out how to pay it. Chris edited it. And then our sound design was actually done by another buddy of ours who that's not his job. He's not a sound designer, but he was like, he works for actually a factory and does their in-house videos. So he's like, I think I can figure it out. So we're like, okay. And he's like, I'll do it for free. So all that was great. But when you're not necessarily paying people, it took about a year to get all of it. Cause people are working their jobs and you have COVID that, you know, came and so, it complicated things, but yeah, essentially we didn't plan again. So we're hoping now if we do a third one, we're like, oh, we're definitely going to plan next time. We probably won't. We'll probably just shoot it like we did before.
I was about to say, knowing you through two films, I'd say, no, you're not going to do
probably
anything.
No.
Now, you are a casting director, so that some of these questions may be better for Chris, but I know you were there every day, so you can answer them, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. The direction for Summer's dance sequence.
Yeah. You know, I really don't know exactly. I think Chris gave her, so Chris had an idea for the song and he had given that to her to explore before she shot it. Yeah, it probably would be a better question for Chris because I really don't know where the dance sequence, I don't know if that was like, if she choreographed that or if he kind of worked with her. I really don't know. On the day we just shot it. But it looked choreographed. I really don't know. I don't know how that came about, really.
I told you it might be a hard question. I know you didn't. I know you're an actor, but I figured you were there every day, so you might have some
idea. I was. And I watched it, but I don't think I ever really... I know that he gave her the music, or the idea of the music, and we played it while she was dancing. But other than that, I really don't know if he gave her an idea for the dance or not. I'm not sure.
Fine. Now you can answer my... Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. You only use two houses in the film.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So
now, let me finish. Your ex-wife house, which I don't think I'm ruining anything, or your separated wife, is the same house as later in the film you used to do a project.
Let's see. We actually used two houses and then one apartment.
Yes.
So the apartment is actually, so we filmed here in Lafayette. The ex-wife's apartment was actually filmed in Atlanta. So it is separate. So it is actually separate.
There's three locations.
Funnily enough, so the log cabin is me and my wife's house, that we purchased from my mother, and the house where the project happens is actually my mother's house. So it is just down the road. Yeah. So, and then the apartment, the ex-wife's apartment, that is our first AD / producer, Jamie Davenport. That was him and his girlfriend's, apartment in Atlanta.
Okay, let's go back to the log cabin is what I really
like.
How is the lighting in there? Because, I mean, you have a lot of shots inside and outside. It looks like you have a lot of issues with lighting
times. Well, so with the first movie, we had an actual, like, we had a lot of lighting equipment. Like, we had an actual truck. We had a gaffer. We had grips. This one, we just had the DP, and we actually just had lights that are – that you don't even have to plug in. They just, you turn them on. They're, I guess they're professional lights, but we only had like two or three of them. So it was a very like DIY lighting setup for sure. So it was kind of hard to, you know, as we're going, cause we would film, I mean, sometimes 12, 14 hours. So it's, you know, sometimes you're just wanting to move on, even if it's not, the best lighting in the world. We're just like, okay, let's try to get it shot. So, yeah.
Okay. You have a truck at one point that's full of crap.
Yes.
Completely full. Now, yes. Where did you get all your crap from?
Okay. So, funnily enough, so that truck, that was the truck that I drove in high school. I had when I was in high school. And all that stuff, so when me and my wife moved in, my mom left a lot of stuff in the garage and in her shed. And that's essentially all of that. That's everything that I've just thrown in the back of it. And then Chris goes, oh, that's got production value. We'll just say it's like Summer's crap truck. She just throws crap in. It's like, okay, whatever. So, yeah, that was just parked in our driveway for months and months and months.
So I have to ask, is the truck still full of crap or did you go to the dump finally?
I finally went to the dump. I finally did. Finally. It took a while.
Did the creepy doll come from the shed or anything? Or?
No. That is the that's Chris's, the director. That is his mother's doll she had when she – so his mother's probably in her mid-60s. That's a doll she had when she was a baby. It was it's creepy. It's a creepy doll.
Okay. How much of the script did you write? Did you write most of the script or just part of the script?
Oh, no. Well, I didn't write any of it. Chris, the director, actually wrote it.
Okay. Well, sometimes you might have some involvement.
Right. Okay. No, I really didn't have any. In this one, I really didn't have any involvement at all in that. I actually wasn't going to play the lead character. I was going to play the buddy that he meets halfway through. He was going to play the lead, but he's a comedian and he's a part of this. They're called like the well-read comedy tour. The liberal redneck got kind of popular, like on CNN. And Corey's kind of popular. He was at the MTV Movie Awards, I think, and did like a little thing, but he was supposed to do it, but then he got essentially had so much going on with his tour and things that they were doing. So I had to, like, a couple of weeks before we shot it, we were just like, well, can you come and shoot one day doing that character? And I'll just, so I just kind of took over that because it was my house. I live here anyway. So it was easier for me to, so, you know, shoot it.
How'd your wife feel about all these people in the house all the time?
Oh, man. She's super sweet. She's the best wife ever because we had just gotten married. We got married in May, the end of May, and we shot this film in July. So she essentially had to, stayed at her mom's for like 2 weeks just because, because we were starting like 6 a.m. We weren't ending till late at night. She works, she's a physician assistant. So, so she had to get sleep and had to be ready for work. So it was, she was super, super sweet to let us like trash the house for 2 weeks.
So when you're reading your script and the script you didn't write, there's a part that they discuss all your failed projects, your character's failed projects. I was wondering, maybe you could help me here, if these are the director's failed projects or someone he knows failed projects, he write about real life.
So say that one more time.
Your sister goes on about a bunch of failed projects you've had, mm-hmm. your character. I want to know if that's based on a reality of some kind or not. I know you didn't write it, though.
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, it's funny. I think that because Chris and I have, because we do these films and it's kind of like, I think people that we know think it's neat. But they also think, like, what are you guys doing? So I think that kind of comes from experience of, like, us doing short films and people being like, how old are y'all again? Like, what, you know, we're just like, oh, yeah, that's nothing. I think that's kind of from that, like, our production that we've worked on and stuff where people don't really get it, kind of see it as, like, failures. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where that comes from.
Now, the ex-girlfriend scene, I want to get into a tiny bit.
Yes.
How do you play that? Do you play that like you do in real life? Or have you had an experience like that? Or you're just acting?
I don't think I've really ever had an experience like that. I guess just acting. And it's kind of funny because all of it's on the phone. And funnily enough, the scene, both of those scenes were my two worst days where I really didn't know any of the lines. So I essentially had to like look down, see what the line was, say it, look down. And then when she shot it, when she shot her side, I'm actually in the room with her, like behind her, saying the lines. So it was awkward too, because I'm like behind her saying it. And she's like trying to act on the phone. I'm just like, oh yeah, it was awkward. So yeah, I guess it's just acting. I didn't really, I was just trying to remember the lines that day and failing terribly.
Okay, we're going to back this up. You're an actor.
Okay.
Shouldn't you know your lines?
You think so. You would think so. yeah, you know, the older I get, the worse I get. And I think I've gotten cocky, because the last Down in Yonder, I was like, I knew the lines. I was good. So this one, I was like, I can look at them the day of. I'll be fine. And when I thought that, it would take super long because I would have to have the script right there and have to be like, oh, I messed up again. And we actually had a script supervisor for this one too. So she called me out. She was super, she was great. And she'd be like, Jeff, you totally like what you just said doesn't make any sense. I'm like, okay, I'll switch it up. I'm sorry. I'll look at it again. So yeah, I should know the lines for sure. But
so yeah. Going ahead in the future, are you going to know your lines?
I hope so. I hope. I can't promise anything, but I hope so. I do hope so. That's okay. Why I kept telling Chris throughout it, I'm like, can I just do like a Ryan Gosling and just like make a face? And that just tell, and he's like, shut up. Like, you can't, first of all, you're not Ryan Gosling, so no. And second of all, like, just say the lines. Okay.
Okay. At one point, there's a location that's a triangle-shaped building with a caboose behind it. What is that? And you guys totally did something there that building wasn't supposed to be used for. So what is that place?
So it's an abandoned, like little market where they sell, like, beer and cigarettes. So I drove by. It's probably, like 10 minutes from where I live. So I drive by it all the time. And I was just like, man, that's so weird. Like, why is that? Who would ever design that? Like, why? So somehow I got a hold of the guy that owns it. It's just standing abandoned still, but he's like an older guy that has a lot of money. And he was like, yeah, I'll open the door for you. You can open. He goes, there's nothing in there, but you can act like you're walking out. Yeah. But it's just an abandoned, people used to buy like cigarettes and beer there. So yeah.
I had so many ideas on what you could film there. Horror movies, bakery.
Oh, it all worked. Yeah.
A romantic comedy. I'm like, that is like the coolest building I've ever seen in a film in years.
Well, and it's funny. Whenever I've been there, there's never anybody driving by, because it's Lafayette, like it's downtown Lafayette, and it's just a sleepy town. Like there's really nothing that goes on there. That day, every car in Lafayette drove by to where the sound was just ruined. Like it was terrible, terrible, terrible. We got it done, but I mean, it was something that was supposed to take like an hour to shoot took forever, forever.
So when you're reading a script and preparing yourself, do you prefer to prepare for, I know you've only made a few movies, don't get me wrong here, an action movie? Do you find that easy to prepare for a drama or a comedy? What's the easiest to prepare for?
For me, comedy. Because I'm naturally kind of goofy, and it's just kind of – some people say comedy is harder for them. But for me, I think because – I think my voice can be kind of funny, if not annoying. So that kind of helps. And if I get the cuss, you know, I felt like my voice is even funnier then. But so I for me, it's comedy, because I'm just like, I can say something funny and I can give a look like, you know, whatever. Drama is hard for me because when we're filming, I'm never serious, because I like to, like, as soon as the scene's done, I like to like smile and like talk, and I don't really, I'm not like somebody that will be really intense about, you know, about everything. But yeah, so that probably, if I probably concentrated, I'd probably be a little better at it. But so comedy, yeah.
This may be a weird question. Excuse me. Who is Edwin Sharp?
Edwin Sharp.
It comes up in the script. You mentioned Edwin Sharp, but I have no idea who that is.
Edwin Sharp.
It's mentioned in the script right near the end. You have no idea.
I have no idea.
Can you say the line? Uh-oh. That's kind of funny.
Okay. Edwin Sharp. Oh, no. Oh, do I say it?
I think it's you that says it. Something about Edwin Sharp. Oh. Like, who is that?
Okay. Is that when me and Summer are doing our...
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is probably hard to pick up. So the scene where near the beginning of the movie when I'm going over her lines with her.
Yes.
So it's just from that fake script.
Oh, she's okay.
Yeah. That one's, I didn't even know what you're talking about. I was like, oh, I don't.
Because you call it back late in the movie and I'm like, who is that? Where did I miss this name from?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's from. Yeah, it's from a fake script.
Now, you're the casting director, right? So you cast yourself, which is a good idea. That's always good.
Yeah.
Now, where did you find Summer?
Okay, so Summer had done, I found her in, I guess, the end of 2017. We did a short film of Get the Van Running. And I find a lot of actors on, it's called Actors Access. And I mainly just watch their reels to see how they are in film. And I cast them off that. And she had done some short films. And she was living in North Carolina and was moving to Atlanta. And I just randomly was like, hey, I really like your reel. Do you want to read the script, see if you like it? And, you know, and she did. And that's essentially, I just found her through her reel on Actors Access. And it just so happened she was, that week that we shot, she was actually driving to Atlanta. So she was near us. So, but yeah, I just found her through that, just through her Actors Access. And then we used her, we did another short with her, and then we asked her if she wanted to play this role, and she was game, so.
Now, we're at the beginning of the film, we see Summer trying to be an actress.
Yeah.
And at the end of the film, we kind of see the same sort of thing. Was there an extra scene that we might have had just to see if you or Summer fulfill the prophecy that you guys created throughout the film? Or you just wanted to leave us off and try to decide?
Yeah, I think that was the goal. Because the way Chris, like his stories kind of are, you don't necessarily have a happy ending. But you have it kind of gives you the idea that things are going to get better. You know, it doesn't really put a bow around everything, but it does. I'd say he has hopeful endings. Cause it's kind of hard with the characters that he writes. Cause a lot of them are just kind of, I mean, they're like normal people. They screw up. They, you know, and it's kind of everybody's different definition of, you know, the perfect ending. I would say it's more like giving hope that these characters will figure out a way not to screw up and be happy, you know, kind of.
Okay. The truck you use in the film, the truck that's used to move things and move people.
Yes.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Did that truck have some issues? Because it really looked, I thought it sounded terrible.
Well, it's funny. So the truck has set. So that was Chris's grandfather's truck that has essentially just sat for like 6 years that Chris got. And it drove okay, but you definitely had to be kind of gentle. The steering wasn't necessarily, like the power steering was gone a little bit, so it was kind of rough to drive it. Yeah, it was just, you just had to be gentle with it. Like the scene where we kind of gun it with the truck, like it, you know, you can put that thing all the way down. It took a second to, we kind of had to add some sound like it was going right then. So,
well, when you shoot your two scenes of you in the truck, mm-hmm. both times it looks like you're struggling to get it going.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I had to put it all the way down, like put the pedal all the way down, and it still wouldn't. Like it would take it a second to kind of go, you know. So I mean, it we had to kind of plan it right to where when she jumped in, you know, where I have to act like I'm kind of like stammering around because it's going to take a while for that thing to go. So yeah, it's definitely a an older truck for sure.
Okay, well, I'm it for this, but I still have your fun questions because I'm sure you've forgotten about them after 4 years.
Oh, no.
Years.
Okay. All right.
One country you've never visited, but you're going to.
One country I've never visited. Oh.
And Canada doesn't count.
I'm going to say Ghana.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice. Yeah. Now, before I ask your next question, have you ever been to Canada?
I've never been to Canada, no.
Wow.
Never. I have a buddy that was in the first movie that's from Vancouver. And I've gotten lots of offers, but I've never actually been to Vancouver. But, yeah, but I've never been, no.
You will like it. It's pretty much where you are, just the Canadian version. one state you've never visited that you're going to.
One state I've never visited. Alaska. I've never been to Alaska, but I want to go there.
And this one's really, because you're from the South, I have to ask, your favorite food?
My favorite food, let's see. And this is always hard for me because I eat so much. Like, I like everything, so it's hard to, like, pick one food.
Fine,
you know,
give me your
I'll say I like have you ever had there's a thing my wife cooks called it's dumplings. It's called dumpling soup. That's probably my favorite food.
I've never had dumpling soup. And before I let you go, Please tell everybody where they can find Down Yonder and Edge of Town.
Okay. So Down Yonder information, well, you can actually watch Down in Yonder. If you go to our website, it's syndicateproductions.com. You'll find links to all of our short films. Our feature Down in Yonder is actually on YouTube. It's on our Syndicate Productions YouTube page. And then Edge of Town right now, it's not out currently. We're still taking it to film festivals. So on our website, we should have like the shows, the showings that are coming up in the near future.
Thank you for your time as always, and have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.